All right, it's 6:10 on WGN. Start of another week. It's a Mesero Monday, and we start your Money Matters with the numbers that matter and new records on the Dow and the S&P 500 today. More than 30% of office inventory in the Chicago suburbs empty. That, according to Cranes, that's a new high, and you can guess that's not good unless you're a business looking for a cheap place to rent. More and more doctors are retiring without replacements on the way, and new data shows that in just 9 years as a country, we might be short about 140,000 doctors of what we need. Self-checkout kiosks represent about 38% of checkout lanes in the grocery stores, but it might hurt store loyalty. New studies show that if we see a human at the checkout, we're more likely to come back. Curious what you think about that. The average 30-year fixed mortgage rate at about 6.5%. Gas prices down to $3.41 a gallon in Cook, McHenry, DuPage, Will County, hovering around $3.15. And those are the numbers that matter on Your Money Matters on this Monday, January 29th, 2024. We're with you till 7 o'clock, then Blackhawks Live. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. It is a Mesero Monday. We'll play a clip in just a bit, but we do have a question of the day today. I read it during Wendy's show. Already started getting texts about it. Now it's time for your calls. Got a call to win. 38% of Americans say that they buy this, but 5 in 6 of people who buy it never use it. What am I talking about? 312-981-7200. 38% of us buy it, but 5 in 6 people who buy it never use it. 312-981-7200 will hook you up with a WGN radio t-shirt. All right, I got to ask, Kevin, Lauren, and Mary, do you self-checkout no matter what, or is there a certain amount at the grocery store, number of items you're definitely going through the conveyor belt? Mary?
Depends on my mood, and, you know, if I got a bunch of stuff and I'm not in the mood to deal with it all.
You'll go to a person.
Yeah, but it also depends if there's a person to go
That's
to.
True. That's true.
Most of the time, there's not.
That's a good point, Kevin.
I'm almost always checking out myself.
Even if it's a big grocery order.
Yeah.
You'll bring the whole cart over.
I'm going to be honest. The grocery store I go to, they have multiple lanes with an actual cashier.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like there's only like 2 or 3 open at a time. That's and there's true. Almost always a line. So I am almost always doing
it yourself.
Self-checkout.
Yeah. Lauren?
I'm kind of the same, but that's mostly because I don't usually have big orders.
Okay, you're buying every more frequently, smaller stuff.
Right, but if the line is long for it, I will definitely go to a real person. I mean, it's really just about convenience. Or sometimes, like, if I'm getting alcohol, I don't really want to wait for somebody, like an attendant, to come to me.
When you're buying that booze, you don't want to wait for anything.
No. It depends.
Do you guys think it impacts your loyalty? Because studies show that if you actually talk to humans at the grocery store, you go back more often. I think it's usually just, is it close to me and what are the costs?
Yeah, proximity and cost, right?
Okay. All right, so then you guys are not backing this study, perhaps. I do find that we want things, you know, like we want the self-checkout because, like, okay, I can just do it myself. That's easier. But then when I'm wandering around the grocery store, if I can't find anyone, it's the most annoying thing. We are very much paradoxical right now. We want things to be just the way we want them, but we want more people when we need it. And I'm sure companies are trying to deal with that. If I can't find someone in the grocery store, I think I shared this once, I just start yelling it. They're loudly saying it out loud until someone just kind of points me to where it goes, even if it's another customer. One time I couldn't find soup. I just started saying soup. Soup. And then just some passerby was like, okay, this weirdo.
Yes,
aisle 6. They were like 6. I'm like,
some guy's yelling soup to himself in aisle 9. Can somebody
Enrique
help him?
Hates it when I do it, which you can imagine why.
I thought you were a homeless guy or something.
Yeah, right, exactly. I'm certainly crazy, to be sure. Got some guesses to the question of the day, but it is a Mesero Monday, so we were talking with Greg Lunsford about kind of goals for 2024. One of them was, he suggested, finding out our net worth. And he dove a little bit into what makes up a person's net worth.
Many would argue the reason that is because it is a forced discipline.
100%.
It's not one that you develop for yourself, but the discipline is forced on you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to make that payment every month or else you're going to get foreclosed on. And before you know it, and you're not really thinking about it, you're just making the outlay similar to paying rent.
It's a mandatory savings account.
It's a mandatory savings account.
Yes.
One, you're getting market appreciation to your favor, and two, you're lowering the balance, and boom, you wake up one day and you have equity. One of the things I was going to say as we wrap up for the month, is going to challenge everyone to calculate their net worth.
Ooh, okay.
Remember I said that goals are measurable.
Mm-hmm.
So if you cannot come up with something that you're comfortable with measuring your success for this year, I would challenge you to calculate your net worth and then look at it 6 months from now and look at it at the end of the year. That's one way of measuring the goal. That's one way of having setting milestones for yourself. And then, you know, on some of it, you can have the accountability partner help you with it,
right?
Because it's not just the equity in the home, but if you're actually saving in the retirement plan, at least to the point where you're collecting the match from your employer, that's a great way to increase your savings.
Mm-hmm.
And an accountability partner can be there to say, hey, pat you on the back and say, good job,
right?
Maybe stop you from making that purchase that was a little bit too spontaneous.
Right. Home equity, the number one thing contributing to our net worth these days. Okay, we're going to chat a little bit more. We're going to get some guesses to the question of the day. But first, let's get a look at traffic and weather. It's 6:15. Mayor, how we doing? Sandra leads off the show with the guesses today. Hey, Sandra, what you thinking?
Hi, is it an air fryer?
It is not, although I saw that now 62% of Americans have bought an air fryer in the last 5 years. I wonder how many people actually use it. I use my Sandra, but good guess. Let's go to Dawn. Dawn, what do you think?
I think it might be COVID-19 test.
Oh, that's a great guess. Not the answer. I'm sorry. Fran, what are you thinking?
A fire extinguisher for the house.
Oh, that's a really good guess, too. I hope more than 38% of people have them in their homes. But as the son of a fire chief and the brother of two firefighters, I have to admit that I don't exactly know where mine is. That's probably a problem, Fran. I'm going to look when I get home, okay? Not the answer. Thanks for playing.
Thanks.
Yeah, let's go to Jerry. Jerry, what do you think?
Extended warranty.
No, good guess. Steve, what do you think?
Well, I think it's shopping bags. Like, if I go to Aldi or something like that, I just...
Never
buy
use it.
Those and
you have a bag of bags at home that are under the sink that you use if you need it? Yeah, exactly. That's a very Midwestern thing. No, it's not the answer, Steve. I'm sorry, but thanks for playing. That means the phone lines are open, 312-981-7200. Alex Gailey joins us now for Bankrate. You don't get to guess, Alex. Some of your friends over at Bankrate have tried to play the question of the day, but I have to deny them that. Thanks for joining us, Alex.
Hi, Don. Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about workers and how much we really are struggling to save money. I mean, every report you read seems like a $400 emergency would do a lot of families in. What's the data show? I mean, how does this bear out?
Well, we have new data at Bankrate that shows that more than half of American workers say it's either difficult or impossible to consistently save enough money to feel comfortable for emergencies, retirement, or any other reason. So to break that down even further, 44% say it's difficult to save consistently enough money, 9% say it's absolutely impossible, and then 47% say it's easy, with the majority of that group saying it's somewhat easy. So it's very split in terms of how American workers are feeling about saving money right now.
I am curious on how this breaks down by age group. My natural inclination would be that Gen Z and millennials feel like it's the toughest, but I'm often surprised by the data. So what does it show?
Yeah, I'm going to surprise you this time. So our research does show that it's actually harder for older Americans to save money right now, specifically Gen X workers. They are the most likely among generations to say it is difficult or impossible to consistently save enough money. And it makes sense. You know, they were the first generation to really see the end of pension plans, and their retirements were really up to them to save. They're probably feeling a sense of urgency because they are getting closer to that retirement age.
Hmm.
And at the same time, they are the sandwich generation. They are stuck between their children and their aging parents, and they're having to financially support both those groups in addition to themselves.
You bring up some really great points. Also, I imagine Gen Z, I wish I could just get every Gen Zer to listen to this program and teach them about compounding interest, but alas, I can't. Gen Z and maybe young millennials don't quite realize how much they are going to need for retirement. Do you think that might play a role in it too, Alex, that they don't get the scope of the problem, so they don't even realize there is one?
Absolutely. I think when you're young, it's easy to sort of put that in the back of your mind and say, oh, one day I'll save for retirement. But it's really important to start as soon as possible because, yeah, the magic of compound interest, you want to have that time for your investments and your savings to grow. And so it's just as important for younger Americans as it is for older Americans to be saving consistently and really giving themselves, take advantage of the time that they have if they're young. That's really the way that they can build some long-term wealth.
Are some of these numbers just kind of baked into the American capitalistic system? I'm sure some of the numbers are. It's hard, right? It's hard. It's sort of designed to be hard for some people. But are there things in recent years that have made it more difficult?
Absolutely. The current macroeconomic environment isn't helping. Although the economy overall is doing better than expected, prices are still high. They're higher than they were before the pandemic, and that is squeezing household budgets. Housing is still expensive, and it just generally, you know, Americans are still feeling the impact of inflation. Inflation is still well above the Fed's 2% target, and so it just makes it really difficult to, you know, they don't have the funds to essentially afford the things they used to afford. And they have to, at the same time, be thinking about the future, saving for emergency and retirement. And we are also seeing Americans increasingly turn to credit cards to pay for things. Our research at Bankrate found that 49% of credit card holders are carrying a balance month to month, and that's up from 39% in 2021. So you're seeing a lot of rising debt in households as well, and those high borrowing costs. It's likely impacting their ability to save as well.
I mean, I think the message out there, I know that these are astronomical numbers we think we need for retirement, and they are high, don't get me wrong. But I think that sometimes that can be like a weighted blanket on people to not even get higher. That starting small can really work, even if it is really small at first.
Yeah, absolutely. I think no step is too small when it comes to savings. And if you want to save money in this economy, and really in any economy, you have to focus on the things that you can control. And really building savings starts with a budget. And if you don't already have one, I recommend establishing one so that you can keep track of your spending. That's really the way that it will allow you to know how much you have coming in, how much you're going out. And it allows you to focus on those small changes. Maybe you do cancel a subscription that you don't realize you're being charged, and that's an additional $15 a month that you can put towards your savings. And if you're putting, let's say, $20 away every month in a high-yield savings account, within 2 years, you'll have $500. And that's halfway to $1,000, which is the amount that most Americans say they can't afford if they are faced with an emergency expense. In 5 years, you'll have a little over $1,300. That makes a big difference over time. So I would say the two ingredients to saving money is time and consistency.
Right. And once you get over that $500 threshold, there's like that momentum that comes with it. And eventually, if you fill an emergency savings fund, then you can start putting that money to work a little bit more for you into any number of things, the 401k, these things that are going to grow more than your high yield savings accounts. So it really does kind of snowball down the hill a bit.
Absolutely. And I highly recommend paying yourself first. So every time you get a paycheck, make sure you have automatic contributions set up to go immediately to a savings account the same day you get paid. Again, even if it's just a little bit, $5, that is better than nothing. And that way you're paying yourself first every time you get a paycheck. And it's kind of an easy way to mentally trick yourself into not noticing that money is gone. It's a lot more challenging to try to pay your bills first and then save what's left over.
Absolutely. And if your company has a match and you are not up to the match, you are literally leaving free money on the table. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So make sure everyone at the new year here. Well, we're about a month in. Make sure you're doing that. Alex, we're out of time. I appreciate it. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's Alex Gailey, great guest from Bankrate. Quick break, then we'll get a couple more guesses to the question of the day before the news on WGN. John Hanson, Your Money Matters. We'll take it till 7 o'clock into Blackhawks Live. Got a good question of the day today. Kind of a tricky one. About 2 in 5 Americans say they buy this. 2 in 5. But when the people that buy it, 5 in 6 say they never use it. So what am I talking about? Kevin, what do you think, my friend?
I'm guessing a bar of soap.
Oh, like it's just sitting there, they have it in the closet, or they put it out there and everyone uses something else, hopefully?
Yeah, we use the liquid soap, yeah.
That's a great guess, Kevin. It's not the answer. But now you've got me curious, so I'll have to look that up, okay? Thanks for listening. Thanks for playing.
Thanks, John. Great show.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. Let's go to Dave. Dave, what do you think?
Hi, John. Hello. I think legal insurance. There's companies out there that you can do it. And like through work and stuff, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, right. Like you're like, just in case something goes wrong or one of my employees does something they're not supposed to, we're covered with legal insurance.
Well, no, I mean personal legal insurance.
Personal legal insurance.
There's a specific company, and I was told not to mention the name.
Okay.
But it, yeah.
So, okay, yeah. they sell legal insurance. I didn't know that, and I host a legal show. I need to look into that, Dave. It is not the answer. I'm sorry. But Dave sounded very excited to coming out of the gate. We appreciate you listening, Dave. We'll get to a couple more guesses here in a moment. I was reading an article about the falling interest rates for home buying and how much that has just opened things up a little bit. Kari Kohler's come on a few times to talk about how things are changing. We're still not super low with interest rates. What, 6.5%, and that's if you've got great credit. Roughly speaking, we've dropped a percentage point from where we were before. And you might think, hey, 8% to 7%, what's the real difference there? That's $40,000 in purchase power, just dropping one percentage rates. So they make some assumptions here. Let's say you and your family, you're making around $120,000, which is a lot, don't get me wrong. You can afford, essentially, with a $3,000 a month budget, $40,000 more in house, which equates to $200 less each month in payments. And that's just from 1%. And you can really then start to see the scope going from 3% to 8% of just how much less house you could afford last year than you could, say, 3 or 4 years earlier. I think we talk about these rates, but I think it's important to put it in the perspective that we all understand. I got $3,000 a month. How much home can I buy? Well, a year ago or a couple months ago was $416,000. Now that is up to $453,000. 312-981-7200 for your guesses of the question of the day. It is a Mesero Monday. At the start of the show, we had Greg Lunsford, and these are clips that we pull from our podcasts, which drop every Monday. Greg Lunsford was talking about people's net worth and how to grow it, and home equity on this topic was number one. So I wanted to find out, all right, what is the second biggest source of our home equity? Here's his answer.
The home ownership is the number one in creating equity. Number two is the employer-sponsored savings plan, because they take the deduction out of your check.
100%.
Once again, it's a discipline forced on you, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we can look at the disciplines that are forced on us and say, wow, that actually contributes to me being better off financially, maybe I see the urgency of me forcing a few more disciplines on myself. And so the discipline I would also challenge people to put on themselves this year, because no one's going to do this or assist you with it, like with the mortgage company or your employer, is developing a emergency fund.
Okay.
We recommend that you have an emergency fund between 3 and 6 months of your monthly expenses. So if you calculate your monthly expenses, they're $5,000 a month. If you're a single, we want you closer to 6 months. So 6 times 5, 30 grand. If you have a partner or a spouse that is in the household with you, maybe you only need 3 months, because that person can help you with some expenses while you look for that next opportunity to increase your income. So I think that is a very important thing to think about. And the beauty of emergency funds is we do all of this work to build our long-term assets in that employer savings account or IRA or whatever other vehicle. We don't want to have to go into those accounts, especially if the market is down, mm-hmm. and sell at a loss,
yeah.
because the dryer broke.
Exactly. He was talking about, you don't want to sell out of your 401k. That is the worst you can do, and that would help improve your emergency savings. If all that makes sense to you and you want to call Mesero, 877-MESERO, MESIROW.com. If it doesn't make sense, you can call them too. They'll explain it better. Okay, before we hit this break and our next guest, let's get an answer to the question of the day. 2 out of 5 Americans buy it, but when they buy it, 5 out of 6 don't use it. Sandy, what are you thinking, Sandy?
I think it's a clothes iron.
Oh, a clothing iron. Nope, that's not an answer, but I like the guess. Let's go to Sue. Sue, what do you think?
Hi, my guess is travel insurance.
And that is the answer to the question of the day. Travel insurance.
No kidding.
You got it, Sue. You got a WGN Radio t-shirt. I was surprised twofold. I was surprised that 38% of people buy travel insurance. I never have. And then I was surprised that 5 out of 6 people don't use it, in that I thought they'd be way more people didn't use it, but apparently 1 out of 6 people that buy travel insurance at some point have to make a little claim. So, Sue, you win. Stay on the line, okay?
Thank you.
And thanks for listening. We appreciate that. I came up with that question of the day because of the guest that we're going to have on next. His name is Benjamin Jack, and he founded a portable emergency room. It's basically doctors prescribing you life-saving medications that get shipped to you before you travel. It's a really interesting topic and concept. We'll talk to him. But first, 6:45, weather traffic. How we doing, Mayor? And by the way, I know we hear Ray all the time on the radio, on this show, many other shows. And every day now on the Eisenhower Expressway, if you take 290 into the city, you get to see Ray's face. It's on a billboard. She looks so great. I got to text her that I keep on seeing her billboard. It's nice to see Ray Kaplan as I approach Rush Medical University off the side of the expressway. Let me know if you've seen Ray on the billboards, too. I always smile, and I'm like, oh, that's our WGN friend, Ray Kaplan. New friend of the program tonight. His name is Benjamin Jack. He's the founder and CEO of Duration Health, and this is so interesting and cool. And Benjamin, I'm so glad you're here to talk through it. Thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you, John.
There's a lot of different ways to describe it. I see a lot of cool phrases you have on the website about a portable emergency room, peace of mind for off-grid living and travel. Can you explain it to me like I'm 10 years old? What is your company about?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm an emergency room doctor by training, and working in ERs and in urgent cares, I write the same prescriptions over and over. And most people don't realize that just a handful of medications treat the most common everyday issues that come through the door. And the fact that you, John, need me to give you permission just to get access to one of these basic medications is based on a system that's completely obsolete. You might be living in a rural area, you might be traveling, or it might be the middle of the night and everything's closed. So that's why we created Duration Health. As you said, it's essentially a portable emergency room that's packed with the basic prescriptions that treat the most common medical issues. Think like antibiotics, anti-nausea medication, that sort of thing. So you sign up online at durationhealth.com. Our doctors write all of the prescriptions up front, and we ship you all of the medications in an orange bag. So when you do get sick, you already have everything you need to get better.
There's a lot of questions I have along the way about, is this legal or not? And maybe that's just because I'm so used to how the system works currently. And you're right, those barriers that are presented before you can get maybe a simple prescription drug that you need. But is it tailored individually? Do I have to talk to an individual doctor about it first? Or do I just tell you what I'm doing, what my situation is, into the website, and you create a prescription for that? Like, can you walk through that a bit?
Yeah, of course. And that's a question that we get a lot is, you know, how does this all work? So you go to our website, you sign up, and you actually schedule a one-on-one telehealth visit with one of our physicians. So we have a group of physicians on staff, and you actually talk to a doctor. We go through your medical history. We talk about why you're purchasing the kit. And then we write the prescriptions included in the price of the kit. We package everything up and ship it to you. So that's exactly how it works.
So you have the kit, and are the prescriptions like in there too? Because if I'm traveling, are they going to want to see prescriptions? I don't know. I've never experienced that before, but I imagine you want that documentation too.
That's right. So each medication is individually prescribed to you. So just like if you went and picked up a medication at the pharmacy, like you know, have probably done in the past, it's labeled with your name, the physician's name, the name of the medication. All the details are right on there. So everything comes in the kit ready to go and compliant with TSA and customs regulations for travel.
Is the kit full of things that I might need in the moment, or is it full of things that I might potentially need in the future?
So it's the medications that everyone needs at some point, but nobody needs all the time. So medications to treat sinus infections, skin infections, UTI, pneumonia, the flu, nausea and vomiting, allergic reactions, you know, the list goes on, the kind of thing that would bring you to an urgent care, but you have everything already at home, at hand.
Interesting. How do you come up with the list for these things? And does each kit, depending on where you might be going or your individual situation, vary?
So each kit is ultimately custom built for the purchaser. The prescriptions are being given to you as an individual. But our website lists 20 preset kits that kind of work as starting points. So there's an adult kit, there's a family kit, there's a pediatric kit. There are kits for specific destinations like Africa, Asia, Latin America, or Europe. There are kits for specific activities like camping or overlanding, RVing, or for people with specific health needs. And that's all there on our site at durationhealth.com. But ultimately, those are really starting points because you're going to speak with a physician during the process.
Yeah, it's still very individual. Can you talk a little? I'm just so curious. Like, what is in the Africa kit that's not in the European kit or something like that? And I know it'll be individual once you talk with someone, but just from a baseline, like, what is different in that one?
Yeah, that's a good example, actually. The Africa kit includes medication to prevent malaria, you know, that you would take each day while you're there. So on staff, we have travel medicine experts and, you know, experts in that field who actually put that together for you.
Do you have the resources for if I have this kit? And yeah, maybe I read the instructions or something, but oh my gosh, I'm now in one of these situations. There's something in this kit I need. And maybe it was 6 weeks ago. Maybe it was 6 months ago that I got the kit to be able to call someone and go, wait, can you help me out with this one again?
We do. So you can reach back out to us. We don't recommend doing that for emergencies, you know, it's not a emergent helpline, but yes, absolutely. You can reach back out to us. We can continue to give you advice, especially if you're traveling. And if you can't reach anyone, the kit comes with a field guide that walks you through how to use each of these medications in an emergency.
Are there restrictions about how you can ship these drugs? I mean, do all 50 states are able to kind of send these wherever you may be?
Yeah, we ship to all 50 states. We have doctors licensed to see patients in all 50 states. We don't ship internationally, but throughout the United States, we do.
So this would be something, if you were going internationally, you would buy ahead of time, you'd ship it to your house, and you'd bring it with you. And I imagine the airlines get used to seeing these things. Like, I assume that's all on the up and up?
That's right. Before your trip, you go online, you purchase the kit, we ship it to you, you bring it with you on your trip. And, you know, as I said, all of the medications are individually labeled. And so it's a common question, but we haven't run into any issues, and it's just the same as bringing your, you know, daily medications that you might already be carrying. And it ultimately just looks like a bag full of medications with your name on them. So officials are pretty used to seeing those.
Chatting with Benjamin Jack from Duration Health. So I just want to make sure I'm clear. Some people might text in and be like, oh, man, these may look a little pricey, a couple hundred bucks, although as you're saying, you're getting a individual experience talking to a doctor. Someone might say, a cynic, oh, I can just go to the drugstore and pick up all these sort of things and put them into a kit. What do you say?
Yeah, sure. There's a couple of issues with that. One is you still need to find a doctor to prescribe the medications. So, you know, again, cynic could say, you'll see your primary care doctor. But most primary care docs, one, are not comfortable putting something together like this, and two, don't necessarily have the knowledge to do it. We have a lot of expertise in what should go in the kit, and we've put these medications together in such a way that it covers what it needs to cover without overlap. So it's not something that most doctors have experience doing or are comfortable doing.
For sure. And it's done for you, which is always, you're paying for the convenience too, and you're sending it to them. And I'm just looking, it's cool. Like, there's camping, marine, women's health specifically, overdose, a kit, asthma, food allergies. So not only traveling, but specialty stuff. We had a texter wondering, do you guys take insurance? How does that work?
We don't take insurance, but we do take HSA or FSA cards.
Ooh.
So if you have those, you can use them right on our website.
Well, we're a financial show, so we preach HSAs all the time here. So
yeah.
Hopefully our listeners have them. Is there anything else you think we should know about this before we wrap on up?
You know, Forbes called us the closest thing to having an emergency room in your backpack. And that's exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to make sure that people are prepared, whether at home or on the road. And so, you know, we encourage you to go to durationhealth.com, sign up, get your kit, and also, you know, make use of the free resources on our website. We have a free field guide that you can download that tells you what to do in an emergency. So, you know, we're out here trying to get folks prepared and, you know, would love to help you out.
It's great. It's cool. It's really cool stuff. I got to dive a little deeper. Benjamin Jack, thanks for answering all my questions. I appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
durationhealth.com. Okay.